Yo, 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 what is up, Dub Nation? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm Chris Chin. Let's go, guys. Warriors, a statement win against the Celtics last night. A team that came in with a lot of questions about, were they for real? And on both sides of the ball, you know, would this offense be able to basically get the job done against the better defenses in the league without with the lack of a number two scorer? Could they find ways to score outside of Steph Curry? And then on the other side of the ball, you know, is their defense real? Is it really a top 10 defense in the league? Is it a top 5 defense in the league? Is it the best defense in the league? You find that out against a team like the Celtics, who, yes, they were missing Jaylen Brown and Porzingis, but that doesn't matter. The Celtics are still phenomenal with or without them. They've been 7-1 in the season. They're the defending champs. Warriors were also missing a couple guys in this one. Some, you know, key energy ball handling guys, our best point of attack defender in Melton, and, you know, our best winning role player in Pajemski. So we were missing guys too, and, you know, no excuses on either side. You know, both teams got up for this one. They knew the intensity would be there. A lot of underlying storylines with Tatum, with Kerr, with just Steph returning back to the Garden. Warriors proved that they are here and they are for real on both sides of the ball. The defense just absolutely suffocating in this one, particularly in that first half, only surrendering 40 points. That's what tells me mostly that, hey, the Warriors are for real, is that the defense can handle anybody. The ball pressure works. We thought that they could be exposed from all their trapping ball handlers with the Celtics, you know, shooting the ball and kicking it to open three-point shooters if the trap's not effective. It happened some in this one, but the Warriors were just disruptive, especially in that first half. Shows that the recipe of strength in numbers, high-intensity effort on both sides of the ball, and just the depth and just the ability to play all out basketball for, you know, these role players, you know, 15 to 20 minutes of the game. Just give me everything you got. You know, GP, I know Pajemski didn't play last night, but Pajemski, you know, even to a lesser extent, like Wiggins, you know, he's playing more, but reduced minutes means you can just play, you know, 10-20% harder all the time. And in basketball, that 10-20% is where the game is won. You see guys like Looney, you know, he's gonna play, what was it, 16 minutes last night, ends up coming with some game-winning plays, putbacks, offensive rebounds when, you know, the rest of the Celtics are a little bit tired playing 30-plus minutes per game. You get a fresh body like Loon come in, just giving it his all, and you're going to find extra possessions, and you're going to find extra points, and that's why this Warriors team, well, we'll see how sustainable it is throughout the course of a longer season and a playoff run. That's where strength in numbers works. You're just going to get the best effort out of everyone, and that's where defense, that's where rebounding, that's where, you know, you hang your hat on. It's just efforts on those sides of the ball. So I thought the Warriors answered a lot of questions on defense. The rebounding, the Warriors have been the best rebounding team in the NBA for the last couple of years. They hit a lapse last night, and that's when the Celtics really made their run. And it looked like the Celtics, after, you know, eliminating a Warriors double-digit lead, Celtics start to pull away. I think they're up 7 or even maybe 9 at one point. You think that, okay, well, the Warriors, they showed some things. They looked pretty good in this one. They showed they can hang with the Celtics, but ultimately, you know, there's still a little bit of work to do. They're running out of gas maybe a little bit in this game. But no, we would not be denied. Steph Curry would not be denied. The Warriors show that they have resolve. And much like this season, they showed that they have more gas in the tank than the other team, especially towards the end of games. And they basically ran the Celtics off the court and got the win. Huge statement game for Steve Kerr's boys. And I just couldn't be more proud. Best win, obviously, of the early season. And Warriors go to 7-1. And with the Thunder's loss last night to the Nuggets, Warriors are tied for first with the Thunder and Suns in the West. And all is great. So we're going to get a little bit more into kind of individual players. Just last night, there's a lot to cover because there are a lot of great games on so many different levels. Let's start with none other than Steph Wardell Curry. If you can see me, I'm wearing my Olympic jersey. No, this is not a number 10 USA Tatum jersey. This is number 4 for how many rings Steph Curry has. But Steph comes back to the Garden wearing his purple shoes, shows there's some magic left in those kicks. 27 points, with 21 of them being scored in the second half, once he essentially decided that, hey, this is my game. I'm going to take over, and I'm going to do whatever the heck I want to do. 7 rebounds, and You see him working for those rebounds. He's boxing now. He's in the fray, and that's what it takes to lead the, you know, an undersized team, and have the best rebounding team in the NBA. Is you need your guards to come back and rebound. You see Buddy Hield doing it as well. Steph rebounded well in this one, but I thought his true shining moment was his assists in this one. He had 9 assists. I think this stat was 9 of his 14 passes to shooters. We went 9 for 14 on those. So obviously he's finding open shooters. We're knocking them down, which is fantastic to see as well. He had the game winning kind of dagger to Buddy Hield at the end. We already know they get to do a little happy dance. Steph kicks it to Buddy on the wing and knocks it down to go up 7. And then lastly, Steph's defense was fantastic in this one. Yes, he had 4 steals. He had a block, but it goes far beyond that. He held his own. He got switched on to Jason Tatum plenty. You saw him, you know, not get abused in that mismatch. Just a smart defender and underratedly strong defender. That lower half, you know, Steph spent a lot of time in the weight room. He's got so much stronger from the beginning of his career. And that really helps him on the defensive side of things and to be able to guard bigger wings like a Jason Tatum. So I thought Steph just fantastic all around game. If he wanted to and wanted to be more aggressive, and this was a playoff game, and maybe we were trailing in that first half, you would have seen him turn on the scoring a little bit more. And, you know, this felt very similar to a type of 40-point game for a performance out of Steph, where he just could not be stopped or denied. And it was really just his choice on how hard he wanted to press on that gas pedal. Great game, Steph. I thought the game really changed when Gary Payton II came into the game. Warriors got off to a slow start in the beginning of the game, and then also to start the second half. And, you know, a little lackadaisical. There just wasn't a lot of energy. And it wasn't even the defense that was a problem early in the game. You thought that, hey, we're going to find some scoring. Do we get Buddy Hield in this game quicker or even Kuminga? But Kerr turns to Gary Payton II just for energy, right? That instant impact. Gary comes in, just immediately gets a deflection. Warriors get out. I think he had a dunk, had a couple buckets in that first quarter. It just changed the tempo and the pace and the pressure of the Warriors team. And GP might be the face of this Warriors defensive mentality, and that's just to be, in one word, disruptive. You hear Steve Kerr use it a lot, and when I think of the word disruptive, Gary Payton II just comes to mind. So many deflections, which the Warriors continue to lead the NBA in deflections. And more important, deflections and steals and turnovers lead to fast break points. When the offense isn't going, it's not necessarily putting in a better scorer. It's, hey, how do we get out and transition? How can we get out and run? Because we know that's what unlocks Steph and unlocks everybody. Instant spacing when you get out and run. And Gary Payton obviously, you know, struggles to score in the half court, but when he's out in transition, he's as good a finisher as any. So I want to, you know, give my kudos to GP first and foremost, because when he came in the game, it had a completely different look and feel, and really embodied what the Warriors' mentality has been about this entire season. Also, ready to go right off the bench, Kevon Looney, 10 rebounds in this one, 6 offensive rebounds, and that's only in 16 minutes of play. First stint in the first half, not great. He had a few rebounds. And I don't know if Kerr would have even turned back to Looney, but in the third quarter, when the Warriors started giving up the lead and it was just all on second chance points to the Celtics, we already know just Kata. I don't know if I'm saying his name right for the Celtics, you know, just vertically just killing us, you know, out and getting lobs, getting in the paint, getting every offensive rebound. And that's when the Celtics went on their run. That's when their shooters get open, because on offensive rebounds, everyone's scattered, everyone's mismatched. That's really when the Celtics found their success. They didn't get much when our defense was set. And so when Cade is dominating the game, TJD wasn't able to give much resistance. You know, we tried everything, but it wasn't until Looney came in the game. Good old reliable Kevon Looney comes in, just immediately quiets Kata, pulls in some rebounds, and in clutch time, he had 2 huge offensive rebounds, one coming off of that Draymond air ball 3, and he puts it back in for a bucket, and then again later with another offensive rebound. 6 huge points in this one for Kevon. And just, you know, the steady force, especially as a big, that the Warriors need. And really Steve Kerr's only solution to the problem when a team just has a 7-foot physical dominant specimen, Where do you go? You go to Kevon Looney, and he's gotten the job done. Andrew Wiggins, you know, I'm going to keep talking about defense in this one because, again, defense was the story. Wiggins, yeah, he had 16 points, missed a layup dunk. I don't even know what that was. We'll throw it in here because that just shows that we could have had two easy more points. But Wiggins, fantastic defense on Jason Tatum. Unbelievable. And you see why the Warriors have had a lot of success against Tatum and Jaylen Brown for that matter, because they are very set. Force Tatum to his left. Do not let him get to his right. When he gets to his right, it's over. You force him to his left, you have help. Don't let him get into that little step back. Don't let him catch open shots once the defense is put into rotation. That's when Tatum struggles to score. And whenever Wiggins was in there, Tatum had a donut for most of the first quarter, if not further, until Wiggins came out. And Tatum really only got going in the second half once, like we talked about, the offensive rebounds found Tatum wide open at the top of the key. Once they started getting point of attack penetration, our defense just kind of gets put in that rotation. And all of a sudden, again, ball finds Tatum open. He'll knock that down. Majority of his points were just on mismatches. He didn't get much in isolation against Wiggins. That being said, so again, I thought Kuminga had a solid game, but I'm bringing him up here because it's more of a compliment to Wiggins, is that you see the difference when Wiggins versus Kuminga's guarding Tatum. Kuminga, the better, bigger athlete than Wiggins, but you see Tatum get to that right hand against Kuminga. Kuminga knows the assignment. You're forcing him left, and yet he's still unable to prevent Tatum from kind of crossing over. He got him two, three times in that third quarter, fourth quarter, getting to his right, getting to the hoop, either getting fouled or getting the bucket. So just you see kind of the maturity and the difference in what Wiggins really brings versus like a Jonathan Kuminga. But again, Kuminga had a solid game. I thought Kuminga played well and hit a tough three at late shot clock, which could have turned out to be the difference. So good job by both Wiggins, and we'll say Kuminga had a solid game. Let's see. Well, we buried one of the leads long enough. Buddy Hield, 16 points, solid in this one. He had four threes. I love the six rebounds. I talked about it already, but Buddy's done a great job as a guard coming back and rebounding. And that just comes with the energy, the focus, and just effort. And he's a team high plus 20 in this one. Buddy's, I think, emerged as kind of that. He has emerged as our number two scorer. Him and Wiggins on any given night, you know, they're going to be 2A, 2B, 2C, whatever you want to call them. But more importantly, he's shown that in closing time, that defense is just good enough to be with that closing lineup. You know, Tatum picked on him a couple times, Buddy fouled him on one. But he's getting better because the effort and the focus is there, and he'll still continue to get picked on. And that's something that in clutch time and in big games, that's going to be a test to see how far Buddy has come defensively. But I thought it was good enough in this one, especially because he's going to hit huge threes down the stretch and give spacing. Curry, Buddy Hield, plus 58 net rating. So per 100 possessions, a plus 58 when they've been on the floor together this season. Actually, sorry, I don't know if is that per 100 possessions? They're a plus 58. I'm pretty sure that is per 100 possessions. And that's through 59 minutes together on the court this season. Here's the thing, guys. Buddy Hield, we could have him at one heck of a deal. I know that past teams, and he's a journeyman, have said, okay, after 10 games, you're going to love him. And then it kind of falls apart. So we're kind of nearing that mark, but I've loved what I've seen. His contract, we have him on his bird rights first and foremost, so it doesn't count against the salary cap, but the money matters. We have him for this year. I think he's making about $8.5 million. Next year, we have him again at $9 million. We have him still the following year at $9.5 million. And then he has a player option at about $10 million. So he's going to be on the roster for at least the next 2.5 years and hopefully a third, or I guess call it fourth season. Great deal. And if he continues to produce like he is, that is one heck of a tip of the hat to Mike Dunleavy for getting Buddy Hield. And also in that sign and trade deal, we got Kyle Anderson, who has a Swiss Army knife, steadying force, great ball handler, protected the ball in this one, hit three threes in a row. The Celtics must have been dying. You know, you see Draymond hitting shots. You see Kyle Anderson hitting shots. It makes your heart hurt if you're the opponent. But God, you love to see it because Kyle's going to get as many of those threes as he wants this year. And if he can start knocking those down, even 36% of the time and just shoot up maybe two of them a game, that is a big weapon. And he's going to find himself in a lot more minutes, especially in clutch time with the Warriors. So all that being said, I thought the offense specifically passed the test. Just good enough, strength in numbers. The defense resoundingly made a statement, not only passed the test, but in my mind are the number one defense in the NBA. I think the Cavs are also very good. So we're going to find out on Friday, you know, what defense is overall a bit better, but Celtics are up there too. And the Warriors were better than the Celtics last night. I thought, let's just get to Steve Kerr, right? Just before I talk about the team as a whole, I mean, it all reflects on Steve Kerr. So Steve Kerr, I know you get a ton of flack, and maybe it's because I follow a ton of Warriors accounts, and every time we lose, it's Steve Kerr's fault. Every decision he made on the Olympic team, it's his fault. First and foremost, the Jason Tatum benching decision or lack of minutes in the Olympics, that's not a unilateral Steve Kerr decision. It's not like all the coaches sat there and said, Tatum needs more minutes, and Steve Kerr is like, no, this guy is not good enough to play. We're not going to play him. This is a collection of the coaching staff. You know, we're talking Spoelstra, who's considered the best coach in the NBA. I honestly forget the rest of the staff. I think it's Mark Few from Gonzaga, great coach. You know, this is a collective effort, Team USA, you know, I'm sure Grant Hill has a say in it too. Multiple people came up with that decision. Steve Kerr is obviously the figurehead as the head coach, but let's not act like it's all a Steve Kerr unilateral decision and a vendetta personally against Tatum. So I just want to get that out there. That being said, Steve Kerr and Kenny Atkinson, front runners for coach of the year. I think after last night, Steve Kerr has to be the front runner, although I know the Cavs are undefeated. So maybe Friday's game between the two, we'll decide who wins coach of the year. But Steve Kerr, you have deserved every bit of praise that you've gotten so far this offseason and or this season, because you see the differences, not just in the team, but you see it in Kerr during the game. He's much more active coaching on the sideline. You know, he tended to, just in past years, kind of, you know, he sits there, you know, you get a lot of turnovers, this and that, you know, he'll call his timeouts to stop some bad runs, but he's not really up and about and yelling at players and just kind of all over the place like he has been this year. And I, you know, there's one instance where, you know, Steph's complaining about a foul where he turned it over, or complaining about a foul, next possession just throws it away down court, and then Celtics hit a three, timeout. Steve Kerr immediately goes and yells at Steph, you know, not yell at him, calling him names, but, you know, firing him up, letting him know that's not okay. Keep on playing. It's the accountability. You know, it's Steve Kerr holding himself accountable. It's holding the team accountable. When things like that happen where, you know, miss a rotation, don't box out, bad turnovers, you know, things just kind of getting away from you, Steve Kerr is getting up in their faces and coaching this year, much like a college coach would. And maybe he learned some things coaching Team USA. Maybe it just kind of reset the way he views coaching and he's not as passive. But you see it in how the Warriors have been playing, you know, the focus, right? The Warriors only had 11 turnovers in this one. No turnovers in the fourth quarter. It's always been the Warriors' biggest issue. Even missing two of their best ball handlers in Melton and Pajemski for, you know, a few games this year, Warriors have been way down in turnovers lately. Focus, right? I mean, I give credits to the players as well, but it's kind of a mentality is my point. I mean, the roster is different than last year, but not drastically different, but it feels completely different culture, right? Just the energy, the enthusiasm, the joy is there. It's very unselfish. You see the ball movement. The ball doesn't stick. You see the defensive effort. You know, everybody is competing and everybody's holding each other accountable. Guys are ready as soon as they're off the bench, right? Buddy Hield comes in less than 3 seconds later, touches the ball, ball goes in. Gary Payton comes in the game, immediate impact. Looney comes in the game, immediate impact. You know, credit to those players, but it's just more holistically, just that mindset where everyone is ready to contribute. Everyone knows they have something to offer this team and everybody is getting it done and everyone is ready to compete. Also, Jerry Stackhouse on the defensive side of things, man, it's hard to know exactly how much credit everyone gets for what improvements, but it seems very apparent, and based on what Draymond Green has said on his podcast, that Jerry Stackhouse is a difference maker in that coaching room on the defensive side of the ball. Warriors only gave up 40 points in this first half, and that was as impressive as a defensive effort in a half as we've seen in years from this Warriors team. Trapping everything on defense, disruptive, high ball pressure. Everything's contested. Even when the Celtics, you know, get out of the trap and find an open ball hand there, the rotations are on point. You didn't see open shooters until that third quarter when things got a little lackadaisical. In that first half, you know, forced 10 turnovers by Boston. You don't see that out of Boston. Boston only shot 35% in that first half from the field. This game, if I had to point to one thing where it was won, it was the point of attack defense by the Warriors, just keeping the Celtics on their heels, not letting them get downhill. As soon as the Celtics get downhill and, you know, basically through the perimeter, they're getting an open three and they're making it. And that's how that's their recipe to winning a championship last year. And so the point of attack defense, even without Melton, potentially our best point of attack defender, didn't have a problem in this one. And maybe it's a matchup thing. I know the Celtics, they're not, you know, we're looking at their ball handlers, right? It's Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Jason Tatum, even Jaylen Brown. You know, they're not built to penetrate defenses as well as, like, say, a Ja Morant or a De'Aaron Fox, who we always struggle with. But so maybe this is a tough matchup for the Celtics, but the Warriors basically turn off the faucet in terms of the point of attack defense. And because of that, the Celtics struggled to find open shots, especially in that first half and towards the end of the game. And it just goes back to the attitude of this team. You know, it's physical. This defense is disruptive. It's going to get in your face. It's going to bump you around. It's going to put pressure. It's going to get deflections, hands in the passing lanes. It's not fouling. Yes, there's been some fouls, and, you know, there were fouls in this one, but all season long, less fouling. Maybe it's been a great thing that the NBA is being a little more lenient in terms of the ticky-tack fouls, allows the Warriors to be more aggressive and more physical. This defensive mentality, it reminds me a lot of the Niners, and I want to call it like 2012. You know, I'm talking about that number one, just like one of the best defenses we've seen in the last several years with Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Alden Smith, Justin Smith, even like Ahmad Brooks. You know, they're all just physical downhill guys, and they're just, you know, they don't miss tackles. They're always pushing players back. It's a very just, it's almost bully ball. Dante Whitner, Hittner, you know, Deshaun Goldson, like these guys hit. And that's the attitude that Stackhouse has brought to the Warriors. You know, we're not gonna get pushed around. We're undersized, but we're gonna be tough and we're gonna outwork you. And I think that's why the Warriors have the number one defense in the NBA right now. And that's the headline in this one, is that they can just turn off the faucet with their effort. Now, the question is, how sustainable is that effort, right? Can that effort continue? That would be my only question from this game, or just from the season in general. Steve Kerr talked about it after the game. He said, you know, that I think the effort is sustainable because guys are only playing 15 to 22 minutes off the bench, and they can give me every bit of effort that they can. Obviously, some of the veteran, you know, the horses, you know, your Steph, Draymond, Wiggins, they're going to play upwards of 30 minutes, and we're going to have to see how they hold up later on in the season. But I think this is the first game that Steph's played over 30 minutes. He looks fantastic. If you can kind of keep the wear and tear down on him and you know, just kind of keep things going, especially through the dog days and towards the end of the season, you're going to see this team win a lot of games. But you see what happens when the effort diminishes just a bit. That third quarter, I mean, no reason that should have been back down. It was right out of halftime. Everyone should have been rested, but not boxing out. Not rebounding, a lot of standing around on defense, just not getting after it, not that extra oomph. And that's when the Celtics just blew the Warriors out of the water for about a 10-minute span. But again, to the Warriors' credit, they settled back in. Their bench players found the effort. And as soon as that bench came back in, all was well when the Warriors were back to being the boys of the game. The other questions, and maybe this is for another time, but just health, right? Like, can GP keep sustaining this type of effort for 18 minutes a game? Melton, who hasn't even been there, you know, same questions with that back, which is seems like it's going to be a lingering issue all season long. But as long as you can have GP or Melton in most games, you know, those two can kind of be, you know, can work together. Pajemski, can you stay healthy with that just physical style play? Just all over the place, all over the floor, always getting beat up. You know, can he stay out there? And then also, you know, can Steph, Draymond stay healthy as well? But those are questions for another day. And for now, we're going to celebrate the heck out of this win over the defending champs. Warriors look like they are contenders for real. If you're a better betting person, you know, you can look at some futures. It's not a bad time. I don't know if last I checked, the Warriors were 30-1 to win the championship and 20-1 to win the West. I also checked Steph Curry before last game was 125-1 to win MVP. Yeah, he missed a few games, but the Warriors are 7-1, first place in the West. And if they finish as a top two seed in the West, somehow you're going to bet Steph Curry is going to be mentioned as an MVP candidate. So maybe throw a little sprinkle in there, guys. Steve Kerr, again, I'm just giving you guys some good futures. 14-1 for coach of the year. Again, this might have changed after last night, but I want you guys to get rich. Rich with wins, rich with dubs, and rich with betting money as well. All right, big test against the Cavs tomorrow night. The size of Mobley, Jared Allen, the speed of Garland and Donovan Mitchell. Tough, tough matchup for the Warriors. I think we struggled big time against the Cavs last year. Realistically, I have my doubts as to whether the Warriors can answer a lot of the questions of being undersized in a game like this. But you know what? The Warriors have proved me wrong last game, and they are proving to be a much better collection of players than the matchup even dictates. So let's see if they can get it done against the Cavs. It's going to be a good telling game, but we're playing with house money for at least the next couple of games. I said we wanted to win one out of these three against Boston, Cavs, and Thunder. So let's go win one more again and split either Cavs or Thunder or both. All right, my dudes, great job. Enjoy the heck out of this win. You know, we're on top of the world for the next couple of days. So I will talk to you next time. Until then, I'm Chris Chin. Peace, love, stacking dubs.